Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. Today we're going to be concluding a message that we began last time. It's a message that was preached on Father's Day by my dear friend and co-pastor, Dan Fisher, dealing with manhood. God raised men to be men. God raised women to be women. We are very distinct, both physically and emotionally, both internally and externally. That's something we should celebrate, since we are the clay and God is the potter. He is who made us. He made us the way he did. We should glorify him in all that we do. I hope that you enjoy the conclusion of this message entitled, Where Have the Warriors Gone?
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
First Corinthians 16, Paul said this, Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. And catch this next phrase, Quit you like men. Be strong. Quit you like men. Be strong. In that book that Eldridge wrote entitled Wild at Heart, I want you to listen to what he said. He said, A man must have a battle to fight, a great mission to his life that involves and yet transcends every home and family. He must have a cause to which he is devoted even unto death. For this is written into the fabric of his being. That is why God created you to be his intimate ally, to join him in the great battle. Mark Hanby, the leader of Lamplighter Ministry, said this, I find it ironic today that while audiences long for reality in their media that is filled with aggressive and violent behavior, their own lives are becoming less real and more complacent. Men are warriors at heart, but men in the 21st century have been tamed and reduced to mere spectators. It is time for us to join the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in this great battle that requires our complete devotion. And I, too, say a hearty amen. Now, when Paul said, quit you like men, he's using a phrase that today we can easily misunderstand. Because today the word quit means to stop or to give up. And it appears that that's what people understand that passage of Scripture to say today. In the modern church, when they read quit like men, they say, okay. And they throw in the white towel. But that is the exact opposite of what that word actually means. It's the Greek word andromazai, and it appears only here in the New Testament. But it appears some 25 times in the Old Testament. What does it mean? Well, a preacher from the 19th century, 1800s, Albert Barnes says, Paul means a man is not a coward or timid or alarmed at enemies, but is to be bold and brave. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, andrizomai, which of course would be in the Hebrew, so it would be the Hebrew equivalent to the Greek word, is translated, be strong and of good courage. Even the Philistines understood the concept, because when they were standing against the children of God and they were out of God's will and didn't even have the Ark of the Covenant with them and therefore got their tails kicked on the battlefield, and then they went and got the Ark, but it's too late now. Because they've denied the Lord. And so not just a few hundred are killed on the battlefield, but some 30,000. Because they think, well, if we've got the ark before us. But when the Philistines heard that the Israelites had the ark, because the Israelites were shouting, in fact, the Bible says so loudly that the ground shook. You know what the Philistines said to each other? Quit yourselves like men and fight. Even they understood it. They understood this concept. Now, because the Israelites were out of God's will, God didn't honor them, and they still got their tails kicked a second time. And so later on, when they're given over, they realize that God's Spirit has departed. And one great woman of the Old Testament gave birth and died in childbirth, but before she did, she named his son, what's the word? Ichabod. The Spirit, the glory, has departed. Where are the men who are willing to stand and fight? Because when Paul said, quit you like men, literally Bible scholars tell us what he meant is, play the man. Be courageous. Act like men. Mark Hamby, the man I quoted from a while ago, says that to quit ye like men implies the gathering of moral conviction with the exercise of manly valor. When was the last time, other than Brother Paul, you heard a man in the pulpit that would meet that qualification? I don't know. They're all too busy apologizing for something they didn't even do. And when they do, what do you think their congregations do? Likewise. In the 1600s, a preacher by the name of Matthew Poole said this about believers. You are as soldiers fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Do not behave yourselves like children, whom the least opposition will terrify and throw down, but like men with a spiritual courage and fortitude, becoming such who have so good a captain, which of course he's referring to Jesus in Hebrews 2:10, and so good a cause. Where are all the warriors? This concept is found throughout Scripture. I mean, Scripture's filled with it. Exodus 15:3-4. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. Psalm 144:1-2. Blessed be the Lord my strength, who teaches my hands for war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdues my people under me. Now, obviously, no one wants an actual physical war. I'm not calling for armed conflict. I don't believe that those who are protesting peacefully should face a bayonet or a bullet. They have every right to protest peacefully. If they do not, they should be thrown under the full weight and force of the law and treated accordingly. But I'm not calling for some kind of armed conflict. But guys, don't worry about it. The American church is so timid, most of us probably wouldn't even know how to pull a trigger if we had to. Not this church. But the average Christian church is far from going to war. It's all we can do to stay awake. Where are the warriors? On this Father's Day, where are the warriors? Where are the men who will stand at work, at school, and not be obnoxious, not be pushy, not insist that everybody agree with them, but will stand on truth and not back down and not apologize? Amen. No, we're mostly like Mike Gundy. At the first sign of any kind of resistance, we just begin to issue apologies left and right. Pam was reading this morning, Old Navy. They're not apologizing for the word Navy, but I'm sure that's coming. But they're apologizing because they don't think they've hired enough minorities. So they're apologizing. Nobody's even said anything about them yet. They're just going to get ahead and be the first in line to apologize. Did you hear Dan Cathy, the now leader of Chick-fil-A? He's apologizing. He says all America ought to repent for being racists. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he meant. I don't care if I ever have another waffle fry as long as I live. Now, I'm telling you. It wasn't that many years ago we all stood in line for blocks to support them on their stand for biblical marriage. And now you've got them caving in every direction. And Dan Cathy is apologizing for something he didn't even do. And the church says nothing. We just get in line for some more Chick-fil-A. The Bible's filled with it. 2 Timothy 2:3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, Paul said. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. 1 Corinthians 15:32, in talking about his struggles at Ephesus, he says, if in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. Paul was a fighter. Why? Because he had found the truth. And he believed truth should be defended no matter the cost. I mean, you know the stories. Abraham's war against the kings of Sodom and the area. Joshua's war with Amalek. Saul's wars with the Amalekites. David's wars with the Philistines. You remember when Abraham heard that Lot and his family had been captured by those kings. He called together 318 of his trained servants. And he went to war. Actually did what Robert E. Lee did at the Battle of Chancellorsville. Divided his forces and won a massive victory and rescued Lot, all of his family and all the belongings. To show you how pleased God was with him, God's high priest Melchizedek, who is somewhat of a mysterious figure in the Old Testament, but the book of Hebrews says that he was a foreshadow of Jesus, meets him and blesses him and tells him, the priest of God says, God has delivered your enemies into your hand. Now this is right after Abraham had just fought a battle. Don't tell me that the people of God should not stand tough and fight the good fight. It is our heritage. And yet the church today vacillates. You're familiar with Joshua. Choose you this day who you will serve. Those who are on the Lord's side, come to me. Well, preacher, that would put people on the spot. We don't want to offend people. We're trying to build up our church. Just be nice. Preach nice stuff. Tell people they're nice. And it'll be so nice around here. And that's the message. Their church is still not meeting. So much for the Great Commission and what they believe about that. David said to Goliath, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. I have come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Where are the men with that spirit? And he's just a young man. Maybe younger than Joab Trout at the Battle of Brandywine. Peter, in the face of all of the magistrates, said, sorry, we must obey God rather than men. Do to us what you will. And the ultimate man. Even the Bible confirms it. He's standing before Pilate. And what does Pilate say? Behold the man. I'm telling you, there's more in that statement than we've often thought. I think Pilate was saying, this is the best man, the toughest man, the man of all men that I've ever met. There is the man. Paul later on says this. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Not the wuss, not the timid pleaser, the man. Behold the man. There's a preacher during the Revolution, George Duffield. He pastored the Pine Street Church in Philadelphia. That's it right there. Well, after he moved to Philadelphia and he took on this pastorate, he was invited to preach at the First Presbyterian Church of Philadelphia. Now, you got to remember, back in those days, the Presbyterians were fire breathers. They actually still believed the Bible. This is a picture many years later of the First Presbyterian Church of Philadelphia. That's the building where he's invited to preach. But he was such an ardent patriot and had been so outspoken, the night when he showed up there the afternoon to preach, none of the congregation were there. They'd locked the doors and weren't going to let him in to preach. He had brought a crowd with him, and so some of them started to walk around the building. They found a window open. They raised somebody up into it, went on the inside, unlocked the doors. Everybody went in, and Duffield preached. During the time when he was preaching, some of the Tories in the area sent word to the British magistrate in the town of Philadelphia. His name was Jimmy Bryant. And he came storming into the church while Duffield is preaching. So Duffield, out of respect, stops. And the magistrate begins to read the Riot Act, which is, of course, as Bill reminded us the other night, that's where the phrase, we say it today, read him the Riot Act. It's actually read him the Riot Act, begins to read it. And begins to demand that this service be suspended immediately because this is a riot. Now, this is a church service, not a riot. Obviously, he was calling it a riot because he didn't agree with what was being said. Now, Duffield could have just said, oh, well, we are so sorry. We apologize. We didn't mean to offend you. We didn't mean to offend the king. We didn't mean to offend this congregation of this church. We shouldn't have opened up that window and come on in here anyway. Oh, my gosh. Everybody pick up your stuff. Let's get out of here. We're all so sorry. A member of that church, a man by the name of Robert Knox, who's a very large man, but he was also a soldier in the Continental Army, got up from his seat and started walking back to that magistrate. And as that magistrate kept reading the Riot Act, telling them that they needed to cease and desist, Knox kept telling him to shut up. And he kept yelling louder. And finally, he got back to the magistrate, and the magistrate wouldn't stop. He grabbed him physically and threw him out into the street. You know what Duffield did? He resumed his message. He continued to preach. The next day he was called in front of the king-appointed mayor of Philadelphia, who was a Tory. He was fined and told that he needed to pay bail for leading a riot. He said, this was no riot. I was executing my responsibilities as a preacher of the gospel, and I refuse to pay a fine. Well, all of a sudden, the mayor found himself in a fix. Because he knew a lot of the people in the area supported Duffield. In fact, a militia over not too far away, about 100 miles away, had said that if they didn't free him, they were going to march on Philadelphia and free him themselves. The mayor actually offered to pay Duffield's bail for him. You know what the preacher said? Not a prayer. I didn't do anything wrong. I owe no bail, and I refuse to pay it or to allow anybody else to pay it. Now, what would a modern preacher do under those circumstances? Cave! He refused to do it. The mayor had no choice but to let him go. And because he was so afraid of the repercussions, he dropped the issue and Duffield kept right on preaching. Where are men like that today? Where have all the warriors gone? Where are they? So, as I begin to close, how do we quit like men? How do we do that? What are we to do, men, on Father's Day? Guys, it's up to us. I'm telling you, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but it is up to us. We must lead the way. We must be the men of God that God has called us to be, the warriors who will stand and say, no. If they say, you need to bow and apologize, I bow to no one but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. No one else. There is no king, no potentate, no magistrate, no governor, no president, no one. Where are we? Are we standing tough? Or have we become so soft that we kind of say, well, you know, yeah, I understand, yeah. And we just kind of sink into the shadows. We hope somebody will stand up, but it ain't going to be us. So what do you do? How do you do it? Well, just very quickly, I can tell you what you need to do. First, you need to commit yourself to standing watch over the truth. Do not let anybody, I don't care who it is, lie about our history, lie about our heritage and your presence. I don't care whether it's a family member, a friend, an employer, an employee. You can do it nicely with gentleness and respect, but you set the record straight. Stand for the truth. Secondly, stand fast in the faith. Don't waver. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has saved you and empowered you to be His ambassador. Be a good one, not a silent one. Stand as God's man for your family. Don't leave that to somebody else. Don't leave that to the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or the nursery director. It's your job to see that your children know Christ. Now, we'll help you, but it's not our job. We'll do our very best, but sir, it is your job to make sure that your children know Christ and then know the Word of God. All we should be doing here is reinforcing what you're already doing at home. Stand up in defense of liberty. Don't stand by and let people desecrate our heritage. Stand up! And then just stand strong as a man. This world is desperate for testosterone. We all need a shot of it. The church needs some men. Women, with all due respect, we love you and God bless you for your faithfulness. But where are the men? The church needs men of God. Paul and I are going to be meeting with a handful of preachers this week, and we're just going to ask them, guys, are we done? Are we done? What are we going to do? We're just going to stand by and do nothing? Paul said, having done all to stand, just stand. When you've done everything you know to do, Paul, and you don't know what else to do, you just stand. Just stand. It's an Irish orator and politician by the name of John Curran, who most people don't realize actually is responsible for this statement. But he said, it is the common fate of the indolent to see their rights become a prey to the active. In other words, the sitters are run over by the doers. The condition upon which God has given liberty to man is eternal vigilance. Which condition, if he break, servitude is at once the consequence of his crime and the punishment of his guilt. I don't know if you've ever read much about the Cheyenne dog soldiers. There stands one. You see that big sash that he's wearing? Do you know what those soldiers would do in the heat of battle? They would take that sash and they carried a few what they called special arrows, blessed arrows, and they'd stick one in the ground and they'd tie that sash to that arrow and they would make themselves a radius and they were going to defend that piece of ground or die trying. Just imagine if every dog soldier marked off his piece of ground. And he stuck that arrow in the ground and he said, I'm going to defend this circle or die trying. Can you imagine? In 1975, the Cables were formed. It's a Guatemalan counter-revolutionary commando force. They have a motto that many of us could learn something from. It goes like this. If I advance, follow me. If I stop, urge me on. If I retreat, kill me. If I advance, follow me. If I stop, urge me on. If I retreat, kill me. Where are the men? Where are the warriors? Samuel Adams once said, if ever a time should come that vain and aspiring men possess the highest seats in government, our country will stand in need of its most experienced patriots to prevent its ruin. That's us. That's us. I want to close with this last quote. I want to use this quote because I have with me today, and I want you to come see it when we're dismissed. But I have with me an actual copy of this man's sermon preached on the first anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence on July the 4th, 1777. His name is William Gordon. He was a preacher, but he was also a Continental soldier. He was the consummate black robe preacher. This is a copy of that sermon. When you see it, you'll see a man's name written in ink across the top. That's Mr. Greenleaf. He was the chairman of the committee that put the event together. I'm holding in my hands the manuscript, a typed, because it was printed out and given to all the dignitaries, but a manuscript of William Gordon's sermon printed in July of 1777. You shouldn't leave here today until you take a look at this. Be careful with it, but it's your history. I want you to listen to what he said in a sermon that he preached in 1776. This sermon that I have was a year later. He's preaching this to the Massachusetts House of Representatives. He said, "May heaven influence every one of us to contribute our best abilities according to our several stations and relations to the defense and support of the common good." That's my call to you today, men. May each one of us contribute our best abilities according to our several stations and relations so that we can defend and support the common good. Where are all the warriors? Where are they?
We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.